You see people bring up toxic masculinity. A lot of times people bring it up because they just hate masculinity.
Sitting here telling men to cry more. That is why we have the problems we have in the world.
Learn how to deadlift. Learn how to squat. But that's part about being a man.
The moment a man is held hostage by what his woman thinks, he has lost his masculinity.
But specifically, what toxic masculinity represents is masculinity untethered from moral accountability to other men.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. And now your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome to Way of Manhood. My name is Adam Tyson, and I'm the host of this show as we're talking to young men to try to help you guys grow and mature in your faith. We are addressing Gen Z, and we are in the midst of a series on love. I want to talk to you guys about what love is. And I want to tell you today that love is better. Just to review a little bit where we've been, 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3, we've been talking about how love is better than tongues. Love is better than prophecy. Love is better than knowledge. It's better than miraculous faith. It's better than extreme generosity. And it's better than the ultimate sacrifice. Remember, those verses talk about if you had all that kind of love, or all these kind of actions of tongues, of prophetic powers, of giving away all that you have, but have not love, you're either a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If you have all understanding and all mysteries and all knowledge, and if you had all faith as to remove mountains, but have not love, then you're nothing. If you give away everything that you have, but have not love, you gain nothing. And so what we've been saying is that all of these incredible spiritual gifts take a second seat to love. Love trumps them all. I mean, spiritual gifts are awesome, right? That's what 1 Corinthians 12 is all about. But 1 Corinthians 13 says they will one day pass away. But love, 1 Corinthians 13:13, love will never pass away. As we know, these three abide, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is love. Love never fails. You know what will pass away? Spiritual gifts pass away, but love continues forever. That's what we've been talking about in the last couple of shows. Today, I want to talk to you about how love is an action, and it's really what you do. I mean, there's no way that we can have the time to really expand all that love really is, but I want to give you 15 things from verses 4 through 7 of 1 Corinthians 13. Remember, 1 Corinthians 13 is called the love chapter, what love is not and what love is. Let me just read the verses, and then we'll unpack 15 things that we can think about when we think about love. 1 Corinthians 13:4 says, love is patient and kind. Love is not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. All right, so young man, Generation Z, are you ready? I want to give you 15 things about what love is. And really, Paul utters these off in staccato fashion. There are 2 positives, 8 negatives, and then 5 more positives. And the way that Paul rattles all this off kind of reminds me in a small way of that famous speech, guys, do you remember from history that Winston Churchill gave to both encourage and challenge Britain in the midst of the Second World War? His speech went something like this: we shall go on to the end. We shall fight in France. We shall fight on the seas and oceans. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender. The famous speech by Winston Churchill. What do you hear him saying? We shall fight, fight, fight. And really, what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7, with these 15 different descriptions of love, is that we shall love, we shall love, we shall love, we shall love, and we will never stop, and it's never going to end. So I want to know if that's you today. So let me give you again the 15 things. Here we go. The first one, love is patient. The word patient means to be tranquil. It means to bear up under provocation without complaint. To be patient's not easy, young man, because you're a young man and you're eager to get going where you're going. But to be patient means that someone does something that you don't like, but you don't just immediately blurt out your disapproval. Being patient means that when you're asked by your parents or by your spouse or by a friend to stop and run an errand at Walmart or the grocery store on your way home, you gladly accept the task. Being patient means when your kids ask you for the umpteenth time for something that you that they keep asking for, that you would at least answer them gracefully. Being patient means that when you are being persecuted at work or in the neighborhood or at your school, that you respond with love, not with hate or with self-pity. I mean, it was Chrysostom, one of the early church fathers, who said, quote, "It is a word which is used of the man who is wronged and who has it easily in his power to avenge himself, but will never do it." Do you get that? You could have it within your power to avenge yourself, but you choose not to. Why, young man? Because you're patient. Because patience never retaliates, at least not in a sinful way, right? Patience never fights back out of anger. Patience is being long-suffering. I mean, we talked about the prime minister from England. Consider the president of the U.S., maybe our best-known president, one of them for sure, was Abraham Lincoln. And one of Abraham Lincoln's earliest political enemies was Edwin M. Stanton. And he called Lincoln a low, cunning clown. And he called Lincoln the original gorilla. It was ridiculous for people to go to Africa to see a gorilla, he would say, when they could find one easily in Springfield, Illinois. Now, I don't know about you, but those are like fighting words, right? But Lincoln never responded to the slander, but when, as president, he needed a Secretary of War, he actually chose this very man, Stanton. And when his incredulous friends asked why, Lincoln replied, "Because he is the best man." And so years later, as the slain president's body lay in state, Stanton looked into his coffin and said through his tears, "There lies the greatest ruler of men the world has ever seen." So again, you can see that his animosity was finally broken by Lincoln's long-suffering, non-retaliatory spirit. Patient love won out. When you're patient with someone, young man, you're going to win them over in time. This is playing the long game. And in Ephesians chapter 4, we are challenged to walk in a manner worthy of our high calling. So if you're in Christ, there's a high calling that God has placed in our life, and He expects our conduct to match our calling. So Ephesians 4:2 says that we ought to be walking with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. So Paul says we got to be patient, guys. That's what love looks like. Love is patient. I mean, Paul specifically prays that the church of Colossae would be filled with patience in Colossians 1:11. It says, "being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might for all endurance and patience with joy." So again, patience, it's all over the place, right? Patience is one of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Again, why am I taking so much time on this? There's 15 of these we want to do, because it's the first in the list. And the first in the list is oftentimes the most important. And patience is a wonderful way to demonstrate true love. So how are you doing, young man? Are you being patient with those around you? Love is not only patient, but the second one is, number two here, love is kind. Love is kind. This word kind means to be loving or to be merciful. It means to be morally good or benevolent. This means putting a smile on your face when you greet someone. This means that you listen to the conversation of others with interest and care. This means that even if someone is rude to you, you're not rude back. Instead, you're kind. Kindness will give anything to anybody, even your enemies. And that's not really a normal characteristic of young men, being kind, right? We can be very abrupt, and we can get right down to the point, and we can say things with no filter. But God wants you, young man, to be patient, and God wants you to be kind. Kind is not just some feminine characteristic or for old people. It's for young men with strength, but it's for you to also have kindness. I mean, kindness not only desires others' welfare, it works toward easing the pain of others. When Jesus commanded his disciples to love their enemies, he did not simply say to wish kindness upon them, but to do something about it. Jesus said, if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. And whoever shall force you to go 1 mile, go with him too. That's showing the kindness of Christ. Jesus is saying, go the extra mile, give them the shirt off your back. That's just being kind. I mean, did you know that the Bible says it's actually the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance? In other words, it's not the fear of God that leads us or our guilt that leads us. According to this verse, it's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance. And so kindness is giving up our selfishness, giving up our jealous spirit, our proud attitudes, and adopting the spirit of loving kindness. The Bible commands us to be kind to one another, Ephesians 4:32, Colossians 3:12, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts and kindness. So let me ask you, young man, are you being kind? It starts at home. Are you being kind with your siblings? Or if you're married today, are you being kind to your spouse? Teenager, are you being kind with the way that you interact with your parents? I mean, kindness is also one of the fruits of the Spirit. Patience and kindness go hand in hand. That's what love is. And so when you come back, we're going to continue to look at 15 things in this session and in the next about what love truly is.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Tyson in just a moment as he continues to press the point that love's not noise. It shows up in what you actually do. And guys, before we get back to Dr. Tyson, if I can have just a moment of your time, you know, the world is going to continue to try to distract you. That's what they do. But I want you to know that you don't have to fight this world alone. That's why Fortis Plus exists. Fortis Plus is there to give you help for what keeps tripping men up. Anger and lust and pride and fear, discouragement. You can find hundreds of hours of content that's available to you right now on the Fortis Plus app, which you can freely download. And we're adding new content every day. That's not just static content that we've loaded and let just sit there. We're adding to it daily. So let me tell you how you can get Fortis Plus. Again, it's absolutely free. Never going to cost you a dime to sign up for it. It's free now, free forever. But to download the app, go to your app store on your smartphone or your smart TV. The streaming store where you download apps on your TV, search Fortis Plus. You're going to find it at both places. And again, it's absolutely free. Never going to run into a paywall. Or you can also go to fortisplus.org. I also want to say a word about the Master's University while I have you. TMU, where Dr. Tyson himself teaches. If you have someone in your family who's thinking about the future, maybe you have a high school senior, or maybe it's even you, you're thinking about going back to school, TMU, I can't recommend the Master's University enough. Training men and women who can carry conviction into whatever God sends them into, business, science, counseling, ministry, whatever it is, you have professors who actually believe the Bible. So if you're a student or you're a parent, I just urge you to take a serious look at the Master's University. You can get more information at masters.edu/manhood. And again, back to what I said just a moment ago about Fortis Plus being free. I want to also tell you why and how this stays free. We don't sell ads around here. We have partners, gospel partners. These are men and women who have joined us, who have locked arms with our ministry because the content we produce has helped them at some point in their life. And they want more people all over the world to be able to access this same type of information. And if you've got questions, you can find answers at fortisinstitute.org. All right, let's get back now to Dr. Adam Tyson. This is Way of Manhood. Welcome back to Way of Manhood.
American men really are in crisis. You can look at the number of men committing suicide, the number of men struggling with depression, the number of fatherless homes.
And now back to your host, Dr. Adam Tyson.
Welcome back to Way of Manhood, where we're examining what love is. And in verses 4 through 7 of 1 Corinthians 13, which is known as the love chapter, we're looking at 15 things listed out of what love is. The first one is love is patient. And the second is love is kind. And after these two positives of love, we then see 8 negatives. 8 things that love does not do. Are you ready? Love does not envy. And so this word envy means to have intense negative feelings over another's achievements or successes. Envy. It's something that makes you go green, right? Envy. It's a synonym of jealousy, which is wanting what someone else has. Now, listen to me, young man. Love is not envious, right? If you really have the love of Christ in your heart and soul, you don't become an envious person. Why? Because love rejoices with those who rejoice, and it mourns with those who mourn. So when someone else has a success, you need to rejoice with them. And when someone else has a difficulty, you need to mourn with them. Because love appreciates what God has given to others and is grateful for what God has given to you. Now, guys, let's just be honest. It's easy for us to look at another person's car and be envious, right? I mean, if their car can go 0 to 60 in 1.9 seconds, you probably wish that was your car. And yet your car goes 0 to 60 in like 10 seconds. So it's hard sometimes to really rejoice with others, right? Because we can easily become envious. It's envious to want someone else's car. It's envious to learn about another person's vacations or their travel plans and to get jealous. It's easy to be envious when you hear about what someone else makes at their job per hour. They're making more than you, or they have a bigger salary than you have. I mean, it's so easy to walk into someone else's home and be envious of what they have. I mean, maybe they have a pool and you don't, or they have all kinds of, you know, cool stuff and you just don't have that. It's easy to scroll on social media and to be envious of others. So how come they seem to be perfect and have life by the tail and things seem to always be so hard for me? I mean, it seems like they're always playing and laughing and having a good time. Why can't I have that? Well, in Stephen's sermon in Acts chapter 7, he preached about how this has been going on since the beginning of time. He talks about in Acts 7, 9, and the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt, but God was with him. So you remember that story? It was Joseph's brothers who were jealous of him. Now, Joseph had received the coat of many colors, and Joseph had received dreams. And so these things made the patriarchs, his brothers, jealous, and they sold him into slavery. That's an example of what not to do. But Stephen's just showing how jealousy has been around from the very beginning. And so be careful, young man, because where there is envy and jealousy, other sins are lurking. In fact, consider James 3, 14 through 16, where it says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and vile practice." So I hope that you see from 1 Corinthians 13 and then from these passages like Acts 7, 9 and James 3, 14 through 16, that jealousy can ruin your life. Where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder in every vile practice. Again, love does not envy. Let's move on to number four. A fourth thing that love does not do is that love does not boast. Love does not boast. Now, this word boast means to heap praise upon oneself. Well, you would be tempted to say, look how good I am. I mean, look at me. I'm the best. And again, you may not say it like that because you know that bragging sounds boastful, but you do kind of brag sometimes, whether you like it or not, about how you think your way is the best, your game is the best, the way you do things is the best, the way you live life is the best. And really in doing that, jealousy puts others down. And jealousy is really filled with bragging about yourself, which builds yourself up. And so it's ironic that as much as we hate bragging in others, we're inclined to brag in ourselves, right? I mean, nobody likes other people who brag, and we're quick to point that out about them. But then if we're not careful, we can fall into the very same thing. I mean, it was the Corinthian believers that this letter of 1 Corinthians is addressed to who were spiritual show-offs. They were constantly vying for public attention. They were constantly seeking the praise of others. They were constantly making it more about them than it was about the love of God. And so that's why Paul's writing to them and saying, look, guys, you cannot be boastful. That's not what love is. It was C.S. Lewis who called boasting the utmost evil. Boasting is the epitome of pride, which is the root of all sins. Boasting puts ourselves first. It is impossible to build ourselves up without putting others down. So, young man, are you struggling with boasting? I hope not, because boasting is a sin, and boasting's going to ruin your friendships, and boasting's going to ruin your godly character. And that's why Jeremiah even gets in on this, and in that passage in Jeremiah 9, 23 through 24 says, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man boast in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man boast in his might. Let not the rich man boast in his riches. But let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord." So young man, you want to boast in something? God says, boast in me, right? Don't boast in your wisdom. Don't boast in your might. Don't boast in your riches, but let him who boasts, boast that he understands and knows me. Boast that you know the Lord. Boast in the fact that God's changed you from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And boast in the glorious gospel, which saves you and that which you can be a testimony and a witness in how others could be saved as well. So let me ask you again, young man, are you boasting in yourself or are you boasting in God? Let's move on to number five. A fifth thing that we should be thinking about with love here is that love is not arrogant. Love is not arrogant. This word arrogant means to have an exaggerated self-conception. In other words, you think of yourself as better than you really are. You think you're all that, right? You don't really have an accurate view of reality. You think that you are the man. Well, if that's you today, I want you to listen to me. You're not the man, right? You are just a earthen vessel. You are a clay pot. You are to be a servant and a slave to King Jesus. And the Corinthians were so jaded in their pride that they even boasted about their carnality, and they boasted about their worldliness and their idolatry and their immorality, which was not even practiced with some of the pagan cultures. They were arrogant rather than repentant. They bragged rather than mourning over their sin. Now, love, by contrast, remember, is not arrogant. You remember the proverb? Proverbs 16, 18, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Man, I try to teach that to my kids all the time. Hey, don't be prideful, because as soon as you're prideful, you're going to fall, right? Pride goes before destruction. And so be careful that you are not so puffed up today that you miss the path of humility that God has for you. Young man, I'm telling you, if you're prideful, you're going to stumble and fall. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7 says, "For who sees anything different in you? What do you have that you did not receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it?" So again, it's just a reminder, everything that you have, it's a gift from God. All right, let's move on to number six. The sixth thing that love is not is love is not rude. This word rude means to behave disgracefully, dishonorably, or indecently. It means to act unbecomingly. It means that you don't take notice of other things, but just march ahead with your own agenda, like you're clueless about what others think. You're ignoring them, and you take advantage of them, and you purposefully neglect others. This would be like the cool guy at school who just walks around like he owns the place. You don't want to be that guy, right? To be rude means that you take from your friend what they have. It means that you speak in a brutally honest way without tact or love. It means that you assert yourself in the middle of every situation, even when you're not asked. And the Corinthians were notoriously rude, especially around communion. In 1 Corinthians 11, 21, it says, "For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry and another gets drunk." And so he's talking about how the Corinthians were so mindless about caring for others as they would march ahead and pig out at the church picnic instead of making sure others had plenty of food. I mean, when we talk about being rude, it's seen best probably in our communication. Like Ephesians 4, 29 says, "No corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only which is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So young man, don't be rude. Don't let corrupt talk come out of your mouth. If you can't say nothing nice, then say something filled with grace. Learn to let your speech be encouraging and building up others. Well, we're still in the middle of this series on what love is and what love is not. Let me pray for us that God would help you to adopt some of these things in your life today. God, thank you for the opportunity to look at how love is patient and love is kind. And I pray for every young man listening today that they would champion those two characteristics of love. Help us to realize that love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not arrogant, and it is not rude. Work the love of Christ in our hearts today, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
This has been Way of Manhood from Dr. Adam Tyson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Way of Manhood with Dr. Adam Tyson, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.